Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
All I can think of when I see pillow feathers flying in the air is that scene from Home Alone when Macaulay Culkin gets Joe Pesci to walk into the saran wrap with glue everywhere, and then he just blossoms with feathers, pillows. Was anyone around in the 90s and you remember this? Anybody at all? It's so good. Listen, I love the 90s. What's not to love? Like Home Alone, lots of khakis, okay? Like, nice. Hey, this is a question related to Home Alone. Can anybody remember what Marv and Harry called their burglary team? Anybody remember what they called them? The Web Bandits. I'm not the only one who loved the 90s. That's good right there. Hey, I'm so pumped for Johnny's baptism. How great was that? Like, just, those moments, like, they just, I don't ever want us to pass up on those and just kind of gloss over that. Like, that is such a big deal, and his story is so amazing. And I just want to thank all of you who came out for Johnny's baptism to support him. And, man, it's just, we love Johnny, love his story, and we're excited for today. So I want to say hey to everybody who's watching or listening online, whether that's through our podcast or the Bayshore app or Facebook Live or Spotify. And there's about 500 of you that's going to catch this message that way, which, by the way, how crazy is that? 500 plus people who are watching this online. And so can you all, like, give Casapulla something to talk about and get rowdy for our online family? Just get it up. Give it up for our online family. Woo! They're hearing us, like, hoop and holler for Johnny. They're hearing us, they're like, what's going on at that church? Anyway, hey, we are wrapping up this series that we've been in called God Never Said That, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. Has this been helpful to anybody? Has this, like, helped you learn something that God didn't say? Oh, thanks, Mom. We got Bonnie back. We got one, Bonnie. Thank you, Bonnie. I like that. But if you missed the first 2 weeks of this, the concept for this is simple. Each week, we're just looking at one common saying that a lot of people believe, but when we look in here, we learned that God never said that. And so I want to kick off today's common saying with a question. I want to know what sort of cook you all are. What sort of cook? Man, think just, you feel that? It's got tense in the room. Some of you are like side-eyeing your spouse, like, I wish he would cook, Pastor Joel. He doesn't cook. No, all of us are at least one of three types of cooks. Okay, and so I'm gonna put this on the screen. We'll follow through this, okay? There are the recipe follower cooks. Like, if it says it, you're going to do it. Then there's those of you who you throw that recipe right in the trash can because you think you are Gordon Ramsay, or you just make it up yourself. And then there's those of you who are like, I'm just calling Domino's. I don't cook. What are you talking about? Like, I don't do any cooking. And so I want to see what I'm working with. How many of you are the recipe followers? Like, that's how you okay. Wow, a lot of you. You guys are the ones who, like, colored in the lines in school. You go to the speed limit. I like you guys, okay? How many of you are like, woohoo, I'm just going to put whatever's in the cabinet in here. We'll see what happens. Okay, I'm not coming to your all's house. All right, like, this is scary. All right, last one. How many of you are like, I don't cook. Are you kidding me? I just call Domino's. I do not do cooking. Okay, a few of you, there you go. Look, the handmade pan from Domino's, that's my recommendation. So good. And what I love about cooks is, like, you will marry or date somebody who's a different type of cook than you. You, am I right? I just think that's God's way of laughing at us. I think that's why he puts us together like that. In our house, I am the recipe follower. Like, if it says it, I'm going to put it in there. Like, for instance, last summer, I wanted to make my mom's homemade famous chocolate ice cream. Come on, somebody. Homemade chocolate ice cream. So good. And there was one problem. I could not find her recipe. Sorry, my mom. I don't know where I put it. And so naturally, I Googled my mom's famous homemade chocolate ice cream. And no lie, the first link was for Mum-Mum's homemade chocolate ice cream. I'm like, how amazing is Google? Like, it knows about my Mum-Mum's homemade ice cream. And so I followed the link, and I made it exactly the way it told me to make it. And for real, it asked me, the first thing it asked me to do was get 16 egg yolks. Six? I'm like, I felt bad for the chickens. 16 egg yolks. And I had to separate that. Have you ever separated 16 egg yolks before? No, yeah, that's good for you. I'm like 99% sure I didn't say a cuss word. I'm 100% sure I might have thought one, okay? Like, it was like, and when I got them all separated, my sister-in-law, Jess, she said, why didn't you take an empty water bottle and just use that to suck up the egg yolks? I'm like, why didn't you tell me this before I had bad thoughts? I didn't know you could do that. Did you know you could take an empty water bottle and suck up egg yolks? See, this is why you came to church today. Write it down. This is good. And so I made it exactly the way the recipe told me to make it, which, by the way, cost me $25 in ingredients. I'm walking around the grocery store like I could buy a whole lot of already made ice cream for $25. But I made it exactly the way Google told me to make it, because if you can't trust Google, who can you trust? And so I made it, and I got my whole family together, and I was so excited because I put 16 egg yolks in here. It cost me $25. It's going to taste like grandmother's homemade ice cream. And we took a bite, all of us at the same time. And my wife's face, I'll never forget it. She was like, and she said, it's so rich. I was like, I put 16 egg yolks in there. And she's like, why did you do that? I'm like, because Google told me to. If Google says it, I'm going to do it. And so it did not taste the same as my mom's homemade chocolate ice cream. Now, my wife, Stacy, never would have made that recipe that way, because she never follows the recipe. She puts things together that no cook in the history of the world has ever considered putting together. You know what I'm saying? You all are acting awkward right now. She knows. She knows. So, for instance, a couple weeks ago, we were going to make Kraft macaroni and cheese, and Stacy was going to make that for our kids and for me, because I'll admit it, I like Kraft macaroni and cheese. And, like, there's no room to interpret on Kraft macaroni and cheese ingredients, right? I mean, it's noodles, it's butter, it's milk, and cheese powder. Like, there's nowhere to go with this, right? Wrong. Because Stacy's like, I'm going to put almond milk in it. I'm like, no. Okay, almond milk is not real milk. And she said, honey, cheese powder is not real cheese. I'm like, you got me there. And so she said, it'll be okay because all milk is basically the same. I'm like, no, because almond milk is not real milk. I know this because I eat almonds every single morning, and never one time has there been milk in one of those almonds. And so, long story short, she made it with almond milk, and I'll just say this, never, ever make Kraft macaroni and cheese with sweetened almond milk. It is not exactly the same. It did not taste, and so all milk is not basically the same. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, okay, this is great, but what does Kraft macaroni and cheese got to do with me and Jesus? And I came to this church today because Johnny's getting baptized, so what's going on? And here's the point. Our common saying that we're going to talk about today is this, and we'll throw this on the screen. It's this, that all religions, not all milk, because that's not all the same, but all religions are basically the same, because don't they have like the same ingredients, Pastor Joel? And so it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. How many of you have heard like a version or something like this before? You heard something like this before? Yeah. And can I just kind of be real with you guys? This just kind of feels good. You know, like it's super inclusive. And who doesn't like a good person? And so many people believe, like, it doesn't matter really what you believe. All religions are basically the same as long as you're a good person. And if you notice that most people don't care what you believe, they just want you to be a good person. That's why when you go to funerals, they'll say, well, you know, they weren't necessarily religious, but they were a good person. And so he's in a better place now. He is looking down on us from heaven now. Cousin Eddie is looking down on us from heaven now. Grandma is looking down on us from heaven now. And can I, like, be real honest with you guys? There's at least 4 to 5 times a day that I hope Grandma is not looking down from heaven at me. Anybody else? Some of you will get this in the van ride home. I don't know. Anyway, but so many people believe, like, all religions are basically the same. So it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are a good person. And I think the reason that idea is so popular is because it feels good. It's like feel-good theology. And have you noticed that feel-good theology isn't controversial? Common spirituality isn't controversial. That's why Tom Brady can win the Super Bowl again. Stinking Tom Brady, always beating my Ravens every time, okay? And he can win, and he can say, I just want to thank God, and I'm going to Disney World. And nobody gets offended. I mean, everybody who's not a Patriots fan is offended by Tom Brady because he beats all our teams to get in there. But it doesn't make the news headlines when he thanks God because, like, it's common spirituality is not all that controversial. Even a lot of what Jesus said and did isn't all that controversial nowadays. I mean, people, Jesus is so popular. That's why there's T-shirts like, Jesus is my homeboy. And people love the popular things that Jesus said, right? Like, you know, love thy neighbor. We will hashtag the crud out of that. Like, yeah, we like it, Jesus. Or just do to other people like you'll have them do to you. We're like, preach it, Jesus. Or give to the poor. We're like, yes, Jesus, I bought a pair of Tom's shoes. I'm giving to the poor. But we love the popular things that Jesus said, but sometimes people can hate Christians and still love what Jesus said because he said such amazing things. But one Jesus quote that doesn't get a whole lot of airplay at the Super Bowl is John 14:6. And this is what Jesus says in John 14:6. He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through who? Through me. Now, if I'm John, yeah, I like that. If I'm John, and I'm writing this down, I'll be like, okay, wait, Jesus. Are you saying that you're the way to God and not just a way to God? And I think Jesus was like, let me say it again. Okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I'll be honest, I've never seen John 14:6 written under a football player's eyeliner, right? Never seen that on Tim Tebow right there. And what makes Jesus different from every other religion is that he made this exclusive claim that I am the only way to God. In other words, he was like, you can be a good person, you can be down with Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam, you can be into a higher power, you can be into Christian TV where everybody wears way too much makeup and has big hair. Some of you have seen it. Anyway. But Jesus would say, ultimately, at the end of the day, I am the only way to God, which means this is basically what Jesus believes. And we'll throw this on the screen. Jesus basically believed that all religions aren't the same, so it does matter what you believe, and being a good person has nothing to do with it. Let me say that again. All religions aren't the same, so it does matter what you believe, and being a good person has nothing to do with it. Now, if you're sitting next to somebody, turn to them and say, that last part is good for you because you look sort of sketch. Okay, you look a little sketch? Some of you really enjoy that. Some of you just looked at me like, I'm not going to do it. So here's the thing. No matter what you believe, I'm just asking for the next 15 minutes, would you be willing to consider Jesus? I promise you, I won't disrespect what you believe, but for the next 15 minutes, would you consider Jesus? I'm not asking you to consider our church. I'm not asking you to consider Christians because, like, have you met us? Like, we're not exactly killing it in the PR department, y'all. I'm not asking you to consider Christian TV, because Lord help us all. I'm just asking, would you be willing to consider Jesus for the next 15 minutes? Because have you ever been like skeptical about something, but then you tried it, and you're like, oh my goodness, I've been missing out on this? Has that ever happened to you? This happened to me last Friday, okay? So last Christmas, Stacy's dad and stepmom got us a gift card to go eat at Finn's restaurant. I was like, joy to the world, this is good right here. And on the envelope, they wrote this note. They said, this is one coupon where you can drop off your kids at any time and go on a date night to Finn's. Woo, that's right. Listen, Pastor Appreciation Month is coming up. If you're looking for ideas, that's a good one right there. And so last Friday, we just showed up at their house with the coupon and the kids. And I gave the coupon to Stacy's dad, Jay, and he looked at it and he's like, I thought you lost this. I said, are you kidding me? I put that thing in a safe, hired a security guard. Like, that is one paper I'm never going to lose. And so we just left him with the kids, and we went on a date night to Finn's down in Bethany. And Stacy didn't know what she wanted to order. Every time. Never knows. And she was between two things. She wanted either the seafood ravioli or the tuna poke bowl. And so she said, well, how about for our meal, we just order the seafood ravioli and tuna poke bowl, and that will be like our meal. I'm like, wait a minute. I held on to a coupon for 8 months, and I can't even get a cheeseburger? Is that what's happening? And like, I don't know. I don't know what a tuna poke bowl is. And the waitress said, it's poke. I was like, okay. And if I can't pronounce it, I don't want to eat it, okay? I don't want anything to do with it. And Stacy said, honey, if you want, like, this date night to end well, we're going to order the tuna poke bowl. And I'm like, we're going to take the tuna poke bowl. That's what we're going to take right now. And so we're sitting there, and it finally comes. And here's what it is, okay? It's got a rice base. And then it has avocado slices, seaweed salad, edamame, aioli sauce. I don't even know. It's just aioli, there it is. There's a cook in the room. Aioli sauce, sriracha, raw tuna chunks. Okay, I'm like, I would never consider ordering something like this, but I'm married, and so I ordered something like this. And I decided, I'm going to take a bite of it. It cost me $18. I'm going to take a bite of it. And so I took a bite of it, and I looked at Stacey, and I said, just when I thought you couldn't make me order anything any more disgusting, you go and order something like this and totally redeem yourself. Guys, I'm going to make a claim right now. No lie. I think it's the best thing I've ever eaten. I was at the table texting my brother. I'm like, Tim, get the fins right now. Get the tuna poke bowl. They'll tell you it's poke. They're lying. Okay, get that. It was so good. I'm like, I've been missing out on this. And maybe you think about Jesus or Christianity the way I was thinking about the tuna poke bowl. You're like, I don't know about Jesus. I don't know about this whole Christian thing. And I'm just hoping that you would, for the next 15 minutes, consider it. Because sometimes the best things in life are the things that we never thought we'd try, right? And so if you're taking notes or taking pictures of the screen, here's the three aspects of this, okay? The three different things to consider. The first thing is, consider the life of Jesus. Consider his mission, what he was all about. And one time, a guy named Mark recorded Jesus breaking down what his whole life mission was. And we'll throw this on the screen. It's in Mark chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. And it says this: but when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, okay, the teachers of religious law in Jesus' day, that's what their name was. They were Pharisees. They saw him, Jesus, eating with tax collectors and sinners. And so they asked his disciples, why does he, Jesus, eat with such scum? In other words, the religious leaders were like, okay, if Jesus is so good, why is he hanging out with people who are so bad? You ever met these type of religious people? And so that's what they said. And Jesus, he heard this. He told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do, y'all. I have come to call, I love this, not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I love this so much. Jesus is like, I didn't come for people who think they're good. I came for people who know they're not. Which, by the way, you're not good. Welcome to Bayshore. We like to make you feel good about yourself. I'll prove that we're not good. Okay, now, everybody, you got to play my game. Okay, just play along with me. Okay, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever in your life you have told a lie? A big lie, a small lie, or an officer, I don't know why you pull me over lie, okay? All right, that's almost everybody. Some of you stood and raised your hand. Liar, liar, pants on fire. All right, here's another one. How many of you have ever stolen something? When you're a kid, when you're a doll, you stole something, and Bayshore pens count. You've stolen something? Oh my goodness. Ladies, hold on to your purses. All kinds of stealers in this room. All right, this last one is a little more awkward, so you don't have to raise your hand. Just give me a little pinky, a little winksy, okay? How many of you have ever looked lustfully at somebody? Just a little too much of a look-see. Come on, give me a little pinky, a little pinky. You all are lying. A lot of you, listen, ladies, you didn't go see Aquaman for the special effects. Wanted to see Jason Momoa. I know what you all are doing. But Jesus said if you look lustfully at somebody, you basically have committed adultery with them in your heart. And so, guys, we are a church full of liars, stealers, and cheats. Welcome to Bayshore. We're jacked up. But Jesus' entire mission was, I didn't come for people who think they're good. I came for people who know they're not. which means we are Jesus' entire life mission. He came for the liars. He came for the cheats. He came for the people who steal things, okay? We are his life mission. That's why I love in here when there was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery by the religious leaders. They were going to kill her. They were going to throw stones at her to kill her. And Jesus stepped in. And he was like, hey, you want to do that to her? You want to leave some mean comments on her Facebook page? You want to hurt her? Okay, go ahead if you've never sinned before. And one by one, oldest to youngest, they all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus saved her life, and he said, he looked at her and said, you are forgiven. Go and live your life and go and sin no more. And what I love about Jesus is Jesus loved people. Don't miss this. Jesus loved people who were nothing like him. And people who were nothing like him loved him. Let me say that again. Jesus loved people who were nothing like him, and people who were nothing like Jesus loved him. Which, by the way, if you're a Jesus follower, let's shoot for that. Let's be like that. I mean, if that was our reputation, we couldn't build a church big enough to hold everybody who would come. Jesus loved people who were nothing like him, and people who were nothing like Jesus loved him. But as people got around him, they changed. They couldn't help it. The closer they got to Jesus, the more they changed. That's the miracle of Jesus. And when I look in this room, okay, when we see every baptism that happens up here, okay, those are miracles of Jesus. Those are moments where people are different than who they used to be. And when I look at you all, so many of you are different now that you know Jesus than who you used to be before you knew Jesus. That's why I love our Bayshore group, Lost and Found. Where is the Lost and Found Bayshore group? Right here? I love these guys right here. And we have a picture from their group on Monday. Here's the group, Lost and Found. And when I look at you guys, when I look at this picture, you guys are miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle of people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. Like for instance, I love Sean. Sean, I always pick on you, man, but I love Sean because Sean's story is he'll tell you, I was an atheist twice. Like, wow, we went round two. That's great. So this is Sean right here. And Sean, a couple years ago, he got caught in an addiction, and he hit rock bottom, and he almost lost everything, but then he went to rehab. He fell back in love with Jesus, got clean, and he sits here today. His marriage made it through that, and in February, he's going to lead a group here called Celebrate Recovery for other people who are stuck in addiction. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. And a lot of times, we don't talk about the wife or the spouse of the person who's caught in addiction. But his wife right here is Amanda in the black shirt. And Amanda somehow stuck through that situation where he had this hidden addiction. And she stuck with Sean. And she managed to find a way to forgive Sean. And last Sunday, I'm up here preaching, and Sean and Amanda are sitting next to each other. And Sean's got his arm around Amanda like he does now. And I thought, like, are they going to make out? What's going on in the service? But that's a miracle that marriage made it through that. It's a miracle. Yeah, you have Brenda here, right on the bottom on the end. And Brenda, before she came here, she struggled with depression. And then she got invited here and came to this church, and she found out that she's not alone in her depression. She found out that her pastor also struggles with depression or has struggled with depression. And she found out that Jesus is with her in her depression. And she came to me a couple months ago and said, Joe, I want to lead a support group for other people who need some help and have questions. And that, Brenda, you are a miracle. You're a miracle. You have Kelsey here. Yeah, let's clap for Brenda. Kelsey here, who's a back row right next to Johnny at the top here. Kelsey, a couple years ago, she wrote down that she was stuck in a hopeless addiction. And then she went to rehab. And in rehab, she got clean. And fast forward to today, she has a new job. She has a new house. She has a new fiance. Hello, there you go, Johnny. And she's a Jesus follower, and she's completely clean. And that is a miracle right there. Kelsey, you're a miracle. And Johnny, and I love Johnny's story, but Johnny a couple years ago was stuck in addiction, stuck in a drug and alcohol addiction, went to rehab, went through AA, found out about higher power, and then he was invited here by Mike and Ryan, who are also miracles of Jesus. And then here he decided, I want that higher power to be Jesus. And he got saved, and then Johnny is getting baptized up here with us. I mean, he got baptized with us today because he chose a higher power to be Jesus. That's a miracle. Johnny, you're a miracle, man. It's a miracle. Listen. Your whole group, every person has a story. I mean, it's just amazing. And that is the miracle of Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come for people who think they're good. I came for people who know they're not. But the closer we get to Jesus, the more he changes us. And we just can't help it. And so, I hope if you're considering Jesus, that you look at this picture and you consider what your life looks like with Jesus in it. So consider the life of Jesus. Here's the second thing. Consider the resurrection of Jesus. Consider his resurrection. Now, has anything ever happened to you before that you thought, if I didn't just see that, I wouldn't have believed that? Like, I don't think that would, I could not believe unless I saw it. Has it ever happened to anybody? So this is what happened to me. Last Friday, I needed my day off. You ever need your day off? Oh, it was so crazy here that week. And then we're moving right now. So every night we're like packing things up. And so when that Friday, my day off got there. Okay, here's a picture for how I felt about that Friday. I felt like this right here. This is me. I was like, woo! I wasn't feeling very Baptist about it. I was straight Pentecostal with it. I'm like, come on, bring it Friday. And I decided, okay, what I need to kind of like rest and relax, I need to go surfing. So I went down to Ocean City super early, and it was great when I got down there. I took my beach chair. I always take my beach chair. I got my spot because it was early. You got to get your spot. You know about your spot. Got my spot. And then I went in the water. I went surfing, and it was like perfect. There was dolphins jumping around. There was like not a whole lot of people out. And it was one of those low humidity beach days. I mean, come on. Give me some Pentecostal hands if you like some low humidity beach days. Woo! Glory. Yeah, that's good. And so it was perfect. And at one point, I went to look at my chair just to make sure, you know, I do a little security check, make sure my chair is there. And no lie, when I looked, there was a line of 5 beach chairs that somebody put 2 inches in front of my beach chair. This is not an exaggeration. I went and checked. I got out my measure. I didn't get out my measuring tool, but I was like 2 inches. And I've lived here my whole life. I would never believe somebody would put their beach chair, a line of beach chairs, 2 inches away from mine. And so as soon as I saw that, this song popped in my head that I hear in my gym all the time. It goes like this. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies. I lost it, man. And so, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I went up there and I grabbed my beach chair. And I put it 2 inches in front of their beach chairs and went back in the water. It's true. I know it was wrong, but it felt really good at the time. I mean, if you don't think sin feels good, you're doing it wrong. Anyway, so I went back in the water, and I felt like God said, I saw what happened back there. And I'm like, I know, can you believe what they did? And God was like, no, you need to go move your beach chair, Pastor Joel. And but I never would believe that somebody would set a line of chairs 2 inches away from another chair. I saw it, and so now I believe it. And the reason I bring that up is because we got to talk about the resurrection, because it's so easy to not believe it. It's so easy to be like, I don't know about that. Like, I got to see it to believe it. And just so you know, that's how all the disciples were. They're like, I got to see this to believe it. And so maybe you're here and you're like, okay, what's the big deal with the resurrection, okay? And here's the thing. I got good news and bad news. The good news is our God loves us. The bad news is our God hates sin. And so like, how do these two things mix? And here's how. God sent his only son, Jesus, to be born to a teenage virgin named Mary. And he grew up on this earth for 33 years, and he was perfect. Like, he never did what your old pastor did with the beach chair. Okay, he was perfect. 33 years and like sin-free. And he had to be perfect because in order to pay for sin, you need perfection. And so on his crucifixion day, Jesus was beaten so badly that his closest friends couldn't even recognize him. And then they took these crude iron nails and they nailed them through his ankles and through his wrists on this cruel execution tool called a cross. And when he was up there, he was carrying every sin, jacked up thing that you and I and we have ever done to pay for those things. And when he was up there, he said some words. And something that sticks out to me that he said is he said, Father, forgive them. And then he died. And when he died, the earth shook. And the Roman soldier, who the Romans were the enemy, by the way, okay, a Roman soldier looked up at Jesus and said, surely that had to be God's son. And then they took him off that cross. They put him in a tomb, put a giant rock in front of that tomb. And 3 days later, two of his friends came to visit Jesus in that tomb. But Jesus wasn't in that tomb because the stone was gone. And Jesus was gone because the claim was that he was resurrected. And he resurrected so that we could have forgiveness. And so the resurrection is ground zero for my forgiveness. It's ground zero for your forgiveness. It's ground zero for your forgiveness. It's ground zero for all of our forgiveness. And after it happened, here's what Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 15. This is days after this happened. Peter said to the religious leaders, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are," help me out, church, "we are witnesses of this fact." We saw it. Now, what you could say is, well, I don't believe all this because I think the disciples, like, they hid the body. Like, this is just a... It's like the Jesus hoax, okay? They hid Jesus' body. They did like a body heist, okay? Like I would just say to this, okay, do you know about these 11 disciples? These 11 disciples were average, uneducated, small-town teenagers who, by the way, were afraid of everything. It's not like these guys are Ocean's 11. Okay, yeah, they're not like Brad Pitt and George Clooney. That's not what the disciples look like. I have a better picture of what the disciples probably look like, all right? They look like this bunch right here. Uneducated, small town, average teenagers. I think Peter was like alfalfa. I don't know. I don't have like proof of that, but here's the thing. They were so scared during the crucifixion that they locked themselves in a room. That's how scared they were. And so if you don't believe in the resurrection, I promise you, get that. I understand why that's a hard thing to believe, but that does mean that you believe this, and we'll throw this on the screen. It means you got to believe that 11 average, uneducated, small-town teenagers who admitted to locking themselves in a room after the crucifixion because they were so scared, they came up with the most elaborate scheme in the history of the world, pulled it off, and outmaneuvered the entire Roman government, entire Roman army, all with no personal motives and only extreme personal loss because all but one died for what they say they witnessed, and their story stuck for 2,000 years, and today 2 billion people believe this hoax. I don't know. I don't know, but that's hard for me to believe too. And maybe you still doubt the resurrection, and I will just tell you that so did one of the disciples. Okay, we gave him a nickname, okay? Anybody know it? Doubting Thomas. Oh yeah, you know about Doubting Thomas. And so Doubting Thomas, he was like, "Oh, I don't believe this. I gotta see it to believe it." And they were in this locked room, scared to death. And Jesus just poof appeared in that locked room. I don't think Thomas was probably like, "Jesus, why you gotta do the magic? Why you gotta like just pop out?" But Jesus said, Look, Thomas, you don't believe, but look, I got holes in my wrists, I got holes in my ankles." And Doubting Thomas said, "I got it. I believe. Because now I have seen." And do you know how Doubting Thomas died? He went to India to tell everybody not what he believed, but what he saw. And they said, "Hey, no, you can't talk about this. You got to deny Jesus." And Doubting Thomas said, "I will never deny Jesus." And so the officials in India stuck a spear through him and he died. That's Doubting Thomas. And so why did all but one of the disciples die? Not because they believed in the resurrection, but because they saw the resurrection. And I know it's hard to believe. I do, okay? But I'm just asking you, would you consider it? I'm not asking you to consider our church. I'm not asking you to consider, you know, Christians like me who mess up with their beach chairs. I'm not asking you to do anything like that. But would you consider the resurrection? Because people saw it and were willing to die, not for what they believed, but for what they saw. And then here's the last thing. Consider your life with Jesus. Consider your life with Jesus in it. So we are in the middle of selling our house, and so we had the inspection of our house done the other day. Anybody ever been through that joyful occasion? Let me just tell you, the inspector was thorough. I think they sent Inspector Gadget or something. I mean, like, this guy was 38 pages of what to fix in the house, thorough. Okay, it was like an encyclopedia. It was like, right there. And so, like, guys, we take care of our house. But you would read this report and think, "Oh, burn it down. Condemn it. This is worse than Chernobyl. Just like get it out. Just burn it down." And so clearly the buyers were like, "Oh, you still want us to accept this shanty that's probably built on a sinkhole? Okay, well, you got to fix this, fix that, fix this, fix that, fix, 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 fix." And so I did fix it. And by I fix it, I mean I called Bo, our worship leader, and he came and fixed it. No, but we fixed it. I even crawled in my crawl space to fix stuff, which, guys, this is going to surprise you, but like, that's not exactly my area of expertise. But we fixed all this stuff, and we're like, finally, we fixed this stuff, and we thought we were done. But then the realtor, 2 days later, called and was like, well, the buyers want you to do some other things in order to accept your house. They want you to put a railing on your deck out back. They want you to put a reverse osmosis system in. And I'm like, ah! And I'm like, I kind of like lost it a little bit. I'm like, oh, they want us to fix more after I crawled under our house? You tell them, Joel's not selling. Not selling. Stacy was like, Pastor Joel, just breathe. It's okay. Just we'll fix this stuff. And I'm like, okay, if I got to crawl in that crawl space again, I want a tuna poke bowl. Okay, that's what I want. But it seemed like no matter what we did, it wasn't good enough. And have you ever like been to that church or met that Christian where it didn't feel like anything you did was good enough? It's like, oh, you listen to rap music, fix it. Oh, you got tattoos, you need to fix all that. Oh, you're gonna wear that in the church, fix it. In our church, we're just glad you have clothes on, just so you know. We're just happy about that. But here's the thing. Quick question. Does considering your life with Jesus mean fixing it first? Like is the core of Christianity fix it? Is that the motto of Christianity? Let me show you what Paul, who was a doubter but turned believer when he witnessed resurrected Jesus. That's another person in the Bible who was a doubter turned believer. Here's what he said about this whole fix it thing. Romans 3:22. How are we made right with God? We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, wait, let me say this again. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who fixes it. No, sorry, got off a little bit there. Okay, this is true for everyone who what? Believes no matter who we are. This is crazy. How do we consider our life with Jesus? By believing. That's it. Being a Jesus follower is about believing. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Joel, I've heard it's all about behaving. Nope. I'm sorry you met that person. I'm sorry you went to that church, because this has never been about behaving. It never will be. Christianity's not built on behaving. It's never been built on behaving, and it never will be built on behaving, because if this was built on behaving, we'd all be done. Right? It's about believing, period. And that's why, okay, that's good news for us, because, guys, our lives, remember, we're liars, stealers, and cheats. Our lives look like my crawl space, which, according to my inspector, okay, needs Del Marva Space Solutions to come, like, you know, get it all cleaned up. It needs some white, okay? And so, aren't you glad, though, that Jesus' final words on the cross weren't fix it, but it was forgive them. Forgive them. What is Christianity? Christianity is this. Christianity, we'll put it on the screen, is Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus plus baptism, although we love a good baptism. It's not Jesus plus giving money to the church. It's not Jesus plus perfect church attendance. Some of you are like, good, that's good for me. Okay. It's not Jesus plus I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or hang with people, or do. No. It is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals hope, equals heaven, equals forgiveness, equals a brand new you. It's always been about Jesus. You see, religion says it's all about me. I got to fix me. I got to be brand new. Okay, and then if I fix me, then maybe God will accept me. But Christianity says, because God accepts me, I want to obey him. Guys, we don't obey God to earn his love. We obey God in response to his love. And so, guys, God doesn't love us because of what we do. He loves us because that's who he is. Love isn't what he does. It is who he is, which means there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any less. And there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more. And so what does considering your life with Jesus look like? It's so good, because no matter what your reputation is, no matter how jacked up you are, no matter what you're stuck in, no matter what you believe, Jesus is looking at you and saying, hey, you are my mission. I came here for you, and I want to forgive you freely. And you might say, well, that's too good to be true. That's too good to be true. And you know what I believe? I believe that's too good not to be true. I don't believe anybody would make up a God who would become one of us to die to save all of us. That's too good not to be true. And so many people believe all religions are basically the same. So it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person. But Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, And no one comes to the Father except through me. But you can come through me. All you got to do is believe. That's why I came here. I came for you. Let me pray for you all. Maybe that person that Jesus came for, you realize today that that was you. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and it could be for any number of reasons. Maybe you've kind of talked yourself out of it. Maybe you just haven't thought about it. Maybe you think God wouldn't accept you. Maybe you kind of not like certain Christians you've met, and you just decide, I don't think so. But today you heard something, and you want to consider your life with Jesus, because Jesus didn't just consider you. He died for you. And so if you want to consider your life with Jesus and become a Jesus follower, you don't have to get up in front of the church. Nobody's going to make you say anything, but I just want to ask you if you would raise your hand while no one is looking, just to say, hey, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. If you want to be a Jesus follower, let me just see your hands. Come on, just put your hands up if you want to become a Jesus follower today. There's hands going up all over this room. I want to give you one more opportunity to just raise your hand, because Jesus gave his life for you, and all I'm asking is, would you be willing to raise your hand to say, I want to be a new Jesus follower today? Thank you so much for all those who raised your hand. Here's what we're going to do. If you're a Jesus follower, or you're just one of the seven or eight people who just raised your hand, let's just say this together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe that you're not just a way to heaven, but you're the way. You are the Son of God. And I believe that I'm a sinner, but you died on that cross to forgive me. And I believe that you're alive because you walked out of that grave. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. Make me brand new. And thank you. Amen.